And it's a great privilege to be along here this evening. And thank you all for coming. And pray the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts. Now, as this is Mother's Day, I want us to think about two statements which were spoken by a famous mother in the Bible. And she said these two statements at a wedding. Okay? So, first one she said, "They have no wine." And that points us to a problem. They have no wine. A problem. And then the second thing, the second statement she made was, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And that points us to a solution. So there's a problem, and there is a solution. And we'll find out who that mother was who said those words in a minute or two. But let's start by asking ourselves the question, have you ever been to a wedding? Put your hand up if you've ever been to a wedding. Quite a lot of people, yes. Now, over the years, I've been to a few, okay? I think maybe that was the first one I was at. I was coming up to 6 years old. You can see the picture's a little bit faded now, so it was a few years ago. But other weddings, I'll just show you a couple there. You might know Stephen and Bethany, or certainly Stephen and Joan as well in the background there. Joel and Emma, put you in there as well. And do you know, there was one wedding I went to where I ended up getting married. That's right. So, could I just say in passing that we learn from God's word, the Bible, that God wants a couple to be married before they live together and before they have a family. Because we read there in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Now, it was said about that famous mother who said those two statements, and that was at a wedding. Okay, so the wedding we were thinking about there, where those statements were made, we're going to visit that wedding. And that wedding took place in a little place called Cana. Everyone say Cana?
Cana.
Cana. And Cana was a place which is, as you can see where the arrow's pointing, it was in the north of Israel, in the region of Galilee. And there's the happy couple, or a picture of what they may have looked like. And it was their big day. Their big day had finally come. And think about the excitement that they must have felt. Now, there's a lot of planning and organizing that goes into a wedding. Can anyone think of any organizing or anything that you have to plan in terms of in terms of having a wedding? Yes? Okay, well, think of somebody else. Yes, Matthew? Food, yes, preparing the food and the reception and things like that. Anybody else? Yes, Joel? Yes, where the wedding will be and when it will be as well. That's right. And there's so many things. For example, there's the clothes. You know, for example, the dress, the wedding dress for the bride, the dresses for the bridesmaids, what the groom and best man and people like that will wear. Wedding rings, wedding cake, perhaps making arrangements with the minister or the organist or what hymns to sing. Those are, you can imagine just lots of preparation and organizing goes in to a wedding. Another thing is the guest list. Now, that could well be the most challenging part of organizing a wedding. And I'm sure the couple that we're thinking about here invited their family and their friends. But they also invited somebody who was very special to their wedding. Can anyone guess who that might have been? Pernille? The Lord Jesus, that's right. They invited the Lord Jesus to their wedding too. And they wanted Jesus to be a part of their big day. And they wanted God's blessing on their future lives together. Can I ask you the question here this evening? Have you ever invited the Lord Jesus into your heart and life to be your Savior and to be with you? Well, you need to. Now, other people who were on the guest list that you might know, well, some of the disciples of the Lord Jesus were there. Maybe people like Peter or Andrew or James and John. And we also read that the mother of Jesus was there as well. Does anyone know her name? Yes, Emmanuel? Mary, that's right. And she was there. So, the wedding happened. Everything was going so well. The couple were married and the reception or the celebration feast was happening. And back in those days, that feast may have continued even for a number of days. But then something went wrong. Something went wrong. They have no wine. No wine? No, there's none left. Oh no. You might be thinking, well, that doesn't sound like too serious a problem. But you see, back in those days, in the Eastern culture, those types of weddings, that would have been considered a disaster. Imagine if you were invited for a meal somewhere. And when you turned up, you were told, sorry, there's no food, there's nothing for you to eat, there's nothing for you to drink. What would you think about that? Would you not be thinking, that's pretty poor? Well, think of the couple. It's their wedding day. Such an important occasion. You want everything to be right. You don't want anything to go wrong. But this was going to be a major embarrassment for them. Here was a problem that threatened to ruin the occasion. Back to the Mother's Day link. When Mary found out about the problem, she told the Lord Jesus, "They have no wine." Can you detect the urgency in her tone? They have no wine. Well, that reminds me of another problem, and a problem that each one of us have. Our problem is that we too have a lack of something which will lead to our ruin. See, we are lacking in righteousness or goodness. Now, if I was to do This Is Your Life with a person by the name of, we'll call this person a sinner, okay? A sinner. And if we were to actually take a look through this person's life, well, it wouldn't make for very pleasant reading. Let's have a check. Okay. Oh no. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of evil thoughts. As we flick over, there's telling lies. There's stealing. There's gossiping. There's being mean and selfish. There's hatred. There's bad language. There's taking the Lord's name in vain. There's making an idol out of a football team or football player. And the list goes on and on and on in the life of a sinner. See, we are lacking in righteousness. We're lacking in love for God. We're lacking in obedience to God. And that's your problem, my problem as well. And it's the problem of sin. And the problem of sin is so serious that it will lead to eternal ruin. And that's why this is so urgent. See, as sure as there is a heaven, there's also a hell. And if this life that we've been thinking about, the life of a sinner, if that reminds you maybe of things in your life, well, if that describes you, then how could you possibly hope to go to heaven? They have no wine. That was the problem. But then, let's think about the second thing that Mary said. And that points us to the solution. After Mary spoke to the Lord Jesus, she was able to pass on some excellent advice to the servants. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. She pointed them to the Lord Jesus Christ and indicated to them that he was going to do something about the problem. He was going to provide a solution to the problem. Now, the Lord Jesus is the one who has provided that solution. He is the solution to our problem. Again, let's do a This Is Your Life with the person of the Lord Jesus. Okay? So let's open up the book and let's see what we find. Wow. This is incredible. What a wonderful person is the Lord Jesus. I read here that he is both God and man. I read here that he went about doing good. I read through his life and I find there's no sin. He has never spoken a sinful word. He's never had a sinful thought. He's never done a sinful action. This person, the Lord Jesus, is perfect and pure in every way. And here's something else. Look at what the Father said. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So we can see here, taking a brief look at the life of the Lord Jesus, we can see that he is perfect in his love for God, and that he is perfect in his obedience to God. So we think about the solution, the person of Jesus Christ, and then we think also about the work of Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus, he would go to that place called Calvary, and there he would be crucified. There he would be nailed to a cross. There he would suffer and bleed and die as a sacrifice for our sins. And then he would rise again from the dead. That is the work that Jesus came to do. That's the solution for our problem. Okay? So, what solution did Jesus provide at the wedding? Well, there at the wedding, there happened to be 6 large water pots made of stone. Okay? So that's why these are here. So count with me, all the kids, young people. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 large stone water pots. Okay? Now, these water pots, they would have contained water, funnily enough. But they would have been used perhaps by the guests who came to the wedding. And what they would have done, I'll just show you here. Perhaps whenever they would have come to the wedding, then they would have got some water out of the water pots. Oops. No, that didn't break. And perhaps they would have poured some into a basin, something like that there. And they maybe would have washed their hands. Or perhaps maybe some of the guests who would have come, maybe some of the servants, they would have got some of the water, and maybe they would have washed the feet of the guests who came. Because back in those days, they would have worn sandals and maybe the dusty roads. So that was maybe something they would have done. And that was a purpose for these water pots. So you can imagine at this stage, because the wedding's already happened, that these water pots are maybe close to empty. Okay? So, the Lord Jesus came to the servants and gave them the instruction, fill the water pots with water. And so the servants did exactly what the Lord Jesus told them to do. And you know something? It says, we read in the Bible that they filled them up to the brim. Now, I think if I was going to fill these up to the brim, I'd be here till next week. But you get the idea? There you are. That's 2 liters anyway. So, the Lord Jesus told them, the servants, to fill the water pots, and they filled them up to the brim. Then the Lord Jesus told them, draw out now and bear or bring to the governor of the feast. And so that's what they did. Now, let's see if I can do this. Now, when the servants put their jugs into the water pots and took them out, I'm sure they couldn't believe their eyes. You see, an incredible miracle had taken place. Jesus had turned the water into wine. And the Lord Jesus had provided the solution to the problem. Now, remember the words. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And if you're not saved here this evening, what does Jesus say to you? He says that you need to come to him. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus says, turn from your sin. He says that you need to repent. He says that you need to trust in him or believe on him or put your faith in him to be your Savior. Now we can see what happens if you do that. Now, if you come to him, if you repent and trust in him or believe on him, then I wanted to show you what this is like. What I'm going to do here is I'm going to swap the covers of these books. Okay? So this is A Sinner, and this is The Life of Jesus. So let's do this one first. So we'll take the cover off that one. And this is The Life of Jesus. And I put this inside this cover. And so, if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he will forgive your sins. Because on the cross, Jesus bore the full punishment and wrath of God that you deserve for your sins. It fell upon him. Also, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, then this goes inside this cover. Okay? Then God will accept you as righteous in his sight because you'll be covered by the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you'll be ready for heaven. You see, Jesus has provided a solution to your problem. And if you're saved then, covered in his righteousness, then that problem that you have of lacking righteousness, that's dealt with. And you'll be accepted with God and be ready for heaven. So will you do what Jesus says? Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now, in closing, when the governor of the feast tasted the wine that Jesus made, he was amazed. He said, "Thou hast kept the good wine until now." And this wine that Jesus made was good in its quality. It tasted so amazing. Also, it was good in its purity. You see, the wine that Jesus made was not alcoholic. Jesus did not go and encourage people to be drunk. And the Christian position and the Bible position on that for the Christian is, in terms of alcohol, to stay clear of it. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Stay clear of it. And so, instead of buying alcohol, something you might want to drink maybe is that instead, slur, or grape juice, or something, not alcohol. And then finally, it was good in its quantity, because Jesus had made enough wine. Those water pots were really big. And so there was enough wine made to satisfy the needs of all the guests at the wedding. You see, Jesus saved the day. And do you know something? Jesus can save you. If you will come to him, put your trust in him. And so, as we finish, on this Mother's Day, I want you to remember the statements of a famous mother. They have no wine. That points us to the problem. And then her second statement, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That points us to the solution. Thank you very much for listening. We'll hand back Mr. Brown.